posing for pictures in front of the trademark Castillo Pyramid. Bush called it a good start to a very important series of talks. The discussions at the nearby resort of Cancun will center on trade and immigration. Harper, who took office in January, is pressing Bush for an end to U.S. tariffs on Canadian softwood lumber. Immigration, the key issue with Fox, who is hoping Bush can get Congress to approve a guest worker program, but that issue is at the center of a heated election year debate in the Senate, and the outcome is far from certain. There is reportedly a growing belief on Capitol Hill that political concerns will probably delay a compromise between the House and Senate versions of the immigration bill until after the November elections. The House-passed bill is limited to border enforcement. House Speaker Dennis Hastert admits there is a need in some sectors of the economy for a guest worker program. House Majority Leader John Boehner, though, says the sooner an overhaul of immigration laws is passed, the better, but he wouldn't talk about a need for a guest worker program. He says that would be addressed once the Senate finishes its version of the bill. The Bush administration says it could take up to a quarter century for New Orleans to recover fully from Hurricane Katrina. White House Coordinator Don Powell says he longs to have it happen overnight, but admits it's going to take 5 to 25 years. The Hamas-led Palestinian government warned today a joint statement from the U.S., EU, Russia, and the UN. It says the newly installed Palestinian government must recognize Israel and set peace talks if it wants to keep its foreign aid. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
the globe is warming.
The globe is warming. Good evening, truth seekers. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. I work for Air America Radio. That's a network that provides liberal, progressive, sometimes even left-wing talk programming across the fruited plain. Glad you can make it tonight. We have what I think is an action-packed program tonight. I like that term, action-packed. Everything from a fat Tony Scalia giving the old Banukula sign to the photographer in church. In church! He did it in church! Now, for a lot of people who think that the Banukula means F you. Kinda. What it really means is, and trust me on this, all right? What it really means is to, oh, God, how to say this on family radio. If it were just the FU thing, it might be a little bit easier but it's not. Well, I'll tell you what. You can maybe you can find an English Italian or Italian English dictionary on Google, but vafanculo is not quite as straightforward as, you know, F you, you know. No, it's a little bit more complicated. It uses a different body orifice. That's about as far as I can go and remain on the air. So anyway, but there, the point is, Fat Tony Scalia, this great and wonderful Catholic, he's in church, and he gives the gesture like this, Babanculo. Man, unbelievable in church. Now I just wonder if his priest. I wonder how many Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Acts of Contrition he'll get for that one. What a punk. What an absolute punk. Scalia. It's just, where do these people come from? What rocks do they crawl out from under? Unbelievable. Oy, never mind. Good news from Iraq, where good news never happens. Jill Carroll, the journalist working in this particular instance for the Christian Science Monitor, was freed after, how long was she held? About those? She was grabbed in January, I think, right? Yeah, in January. Her translator, when she was abducted, was shot and killed. Two deadlines were set for her execution. And for whatever reason, she was freed. And if anything constitutes just a tiny, itsy-bitsy sliver of good news, no, it's not because she's an American. It's not because she's a woman. It's not because she's a journalist. It's because she's a human being that was grabbed in a situation created by George W. Bush, a situation where her life was threatened. We just had a situation on this program, when was it, Kathy, last week, a week before that? Our friend from North Carolina, who talked about Tom being executed. So it's not, it's just that this woman has been released. And let's just let it go at that. It's hard to let it go at that because, you know, you just, I don't know about you, wrong pronoun. I always believe when something like her kidnapping occurs that it has been engineered by the death squads in Iraq, that were organized and set up by John Negroponte when he was a temporary U.S. ambassador to that sad country before he came back and was put in charge of national security. Steve Sitton is going to rejoin us for a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. He is running as a Democrat in Georgia's 6th Congressional District. That's the district that spawned Newt Gingrich, one of the most vile forces in the Republican Party ever. Newt, who is an adulterer, a serial adulterer, who liked to get fanuculo in his car in the parking lot at the White House or the Congressional Office Building. He was spotted a couple of times. Newt Gingrich, who is just a shivery. He is so evil, he's shivery. Very, very few people make me shiver. Vanuculo! But this guy does. He makes me shiver. He's always made me shiver. He's the one that made Sean Hannity's career, as a matter of fact. The Panculo! Sean Hannity was doing a gig over here in Huntsville, Alabama, after the lesbian ladies ran him out of California. Yeah, they did. They threatened to beat his ass up if he didn't leave. So he ran to Huntsville, and he worked there for a while. And then he came over here to Atlanta and went to work for WGST, back when that was the spawning ground for, just so much vileness in Atlanta. But he attached himself like a lamprey to Newt Gingrich. And back when Newt's star was rising. And it was Newt that got him a job with Fox News Channel, because Newt and, what's his name, you know, the guy that runs Fox News Channel, Rupert Murdoch. Newt was in the house, and Murdoch was trying to get FCC licenses and so on and so forth without becoming a citizen of the United States, which was against the law, and he offered to publish one of Newt's books for, I don't know, what was it, a $2, $3 million advance, $4 million advance, just a cheesy, dumbass book that Newt wrote. And when the public found out about it, there was all kinds of talk about Newt being a hypocrite, yada, yada, yada. But Hannity, of course, came to bat for Newt. These ratty Republicans always stick together. These neo-Nazis always stick together. Of course they do. And as a reward for sticking up for Newt here in the home district, Newt made sure that Sean got a job with Fox News Channel. And then, of course, ABC, being the nest of rat bastards that it is, hired him to be a syndicated talk show host, and the rest is history. Sean is such a contribution to public discourse in American media. Isn't he? Just God. Anyway, Steve Sinton, I digress. Steve Sinton, who is now a candidate for Congress in Georgia's 6th District, will join us again tonight to discuss the progress of his campaign and what else is going on. You know, we had Nancy Skinner last night, skinnerforcongress.com. Now, you know, a lot of people are going to say, Jesus Christ, Molly, when are you going to stop? I mean, how much? Look, let me tell you something. We're going to put these people on, and if you're listening to the program, you're going to get pitched by me. The candidates usually don't say anything. I will say to you, go to their website, click the PayPal or whatever they're using, and send them $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever. That's just the way it works. That's the way it works. You want change, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. If you want change, you want to see Skinner in Congress, you want to see Steve Sitton in Congress, you want to see any of these liberal Democrats in Congress, or progressive Democrats, or Democratic liberals, or progressive liberal, whatever, however you want to identify them. That's what you have to do. You have to open up your wallet. That's just the way it goes. This is America, all right? This is America. You don't want this stuff for free anyway. Then you know it's bogus. So Steve's going to be on for a few minutes. And as promised, we have this, I don't know how to describe it, insane? I was going to say nonsensical, but that's like saying Hitler was nonsensical, you know. Bush, this insane clown who appears to be, he's got that jaw thing going again. And for those of you, okay, I did a couple of times back in the 80s too, all right, until I realized it was death. But for those of you who have done coke, done a few lines, you know what happens after you know, that thing starts happening with your lower jaw, right? Let's get our cards on the table here. You'll hear him do that. You'll hear him do that. We promised. It's Chuckle Nuts from yesterday when he was at the Freedom from Coke Foundation or something. I don't know what the hell, where, what was Freedom Basement? Freedom Attic. Freedom House. That's it. I knew it had Freedom in it. Anyway, we're going to shock and amaze you with some of his Wit and Wisdom, a little bit later on tonight. Also, if you live in Nevada, oh, I'll tell you about it in a minute.
30 minutes later, I was a millionaire. Bales of cocaine falling from the flying plane.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Papunculo! Hey! My name is Tony Scalia. Papunculo! You're not gonna publish that picture, are you? For those of you who lived in the Arizona or the Phoenix area, you know that Black Canyon City, Arizona, is one of the suburbs around Phoenix, I believe. I've been told. I think that's right. The Arizona Republic is reporting that authorities say vandals there torched and toppled four 200-foot radio towers that are part of a seven-tower cluster in Black Canyon City, Arizona, causing damage, according to the newspaper, in the, quote, millions of dollars, end quote. Off the air because of this incident is KMIA Phoenix, which broadcasts ESPN Sports. The station manager said it could take several weeks for the station to get back on the air. Station manager went on to say it's disheartening to know that somebody would do damage like this to a federally licensed facility. Well, my good friend Ski Anderson has sent me the story last night. He just asked a simple question. Maybe they thought they had the New Air America towers. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Now, for people who live near Las Vegas, watch out. According to the foreign press, I haven't seen this in the American press. Yahoo's carrying it now, but they picked it up from Agence France-Presse. The Australian news agency is carrying it. One of the Russian news agencies is carrying it. But here's the story. U.S. military is planning to detonate a 700-ton, yeah, I didn't say 7 or 70, I said 700-ton explosive charge in a test called Divine Strike. Divine Strike. That will send a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas, according to a senior defense official. The official is James Tegnilia, head of the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. Mr. Tegnilia said the test was part of U.S. effort to develop weapons capable of destroying deeply buried bunkers housing nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons. Well, in the first place, why would you want to blow them up, you dumb bastard? He said, quote, I don't want to sound glib here, but it is the first time in Nevada that you'll see a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas since we stopped testing nuclear weapons. This sick man went on to say, we have several very large penetrators we're developing. Bafunculo! Eh? Yeah, this guy is going to make sure that we all get bafunculoed! Man.
Is it just me, or does anybody else think it's a really, really bad idea to blow up nuclear things?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Nuclear, biological, chemical, weapon stocks underground. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. But this is the Bush administration. They don't care. They're helping Jesus come back.
Are they all Italian? What's the guy's name?
James Tegnilia. No, that's not Italian. That looks to me to be Latvian or something. Anyway, he says we have several very large penetrators we're developing. He went on to say, we also have, are you ready for this? He added the, are you ready for this? What is this guy, Johnny Carson? We also have, are you ready for this, Ed? A 700-ton explosively formed charge that we're going to be putting in a tunnel in Nevada. The test, he says, is to measure the effect of something this big on hard granite structures. He said the Russians had been notified of the test, which will be done in the first week of June at the Nevada test range. The Russians have been notified of the test. Have the American people been notified? He says we're also making sure that Las Vegas understands. Interesting use of American English there. We're also making sure that Las Vegas understands. Well, Las Vegas is a city, you dumb bastard, but I guess what you mean is the people who live there or the mayor's office or I don't know. But Truth Seeker, 700 tons is 1,400,000 pounds. Now, let me ask you something. What kind of an airplane can carry that? you get the brass ring. There is no such airplane that can carry that. A 700-ton explosive device. Now, they're not saying, not clearly, whether it's nuclear or conventional, if you can call something that 700-ton explosive conventional. That's something right out of the cerebral cortex of Satan, isn't it? I mean only Satan's minions on Earth could come up with something like that. I think this is Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld is soon going to die because he's a sick old man. And he is, to the National Security Agency listening to the program, oh, get off my ass, all right? He is going to die soon because he's a sick old man. And he wants to make sure, apparently, that a lot of people go with him. Why? I don't know. There's no place to go, Don. When you die, it's like a light switched off. That's all.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's 1,000 pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love.
I view our nuclear arsenal as a deterrent. I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal.
Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh,
it's 25 before the hour. We last talked to Steve Sinton a couple of weeks ago. He is running for Congress from Newt Gingrich's old district, a district that is in the bony, cold clutches right now of a Republican. It's Georgia's 6th district. Steve joins us again. Steve, welcome to the program. I think Steve's here, isn't he? Is Steve here? Are we on? Is this a radio program? Do I work for a network? Can someone bring up the call? Hello? Is anything happening?
Hi, Mike.
Oh, my God! Hi, Steve. Did you hear me talking to you and you weren't talking back? Or
the entire time. I'm used to you talking to yourself.
Well, that's me. Well, you've been in radio for a long time.
Nice presidential soundbite. Now I know I'm doing the right thing.
Yes, you are. It's still changecongressnow.com, right?
It is. That's the one to go to. Help a brother out. I mean, you know, I'm running in one of the toughest districts in the country, and if we take the national numbers that have come out, which show a 10% preference for a Democratic Congress, I usually knock 10 off for my local numbers, and that means I'm running even here. We haven't gotten the new local numbers, but they generally run congruent with that. So, yeah, in that way, we're doing the right thing, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Now, your part of the district that you're in is, I don't think all of it is Cobb County, but it's certainly a part of it is Cobb, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the North Atlanta suburbs that are East Cobb, North Fulton, Cherokee County, and a little bit in either direction around the perimeter. It's a bedroom community. It's well-educated. It's well-to-do. It is the fourth wealthiest congressional district in the country. And here we go. To get into the polling, it is the kind of place that my polling tells me economic Republicans will fire incompetence come November.
Well, I was just going to ask you, that is a bastion of Republicanism. Are they, the voters, is it your sense that they understand that George W. Bush is destroying the very things that Republicans used to believe in?
I think that they vote about what is important to them in the country. I don't know if that weighs into it, but it gets into how safe anyone is in his or her home, how safe your kids are at school, and whether your job and your retirement are safe. And over the last 6 years, but especially in the last several months, it's become terribly apparent that all three of those things are up for grabs. Mm-hmm. The jobs going overseas, no solution to Iraq. A $9 trillion deficit, I nearly said $8 trillion, but they voted it up last week, as you well know.
Yeah, they did.
If you watch the Budget Committee at all on the Hill, the Democrats are screaming, you're not using real numbers, and the deficit gets into the tens of trillions. They've got the audacity to play with veterans' benefits after we asked people to go over there and fight. We're watching our pensions dry up. We've got the most costly health care in the world with mediocre results. I think, you know, people really pay attention to these things here.
You're very good at articulating these issues. The question I have, and this is a tough question, but is that message penetrating to the people in the 6th District. I know they don't live in a vacuum. They live here in the metro Atlanta area. I know that folks in the 6th District pick up a newspaper or read the Wall Street Journal or whatever. They see the same sorts of stuff that you and I see and the rest of the country sees. But I just wonder sometimes, Steve, there are a lot of Democrats out there. There are a lot of conservative Democrats in your district. There are a lot of so-called liberal Republicans. Is the message, not from you, but the message that these people can come to grips with very easily by reading the news, is the message getting through as to what is happening here?
I think one of the big lessons of life is just when you think someone's not going to get something, they do. And that is going on here. They see what's happening. There is a chasm between two kinds of Republicans right now. To win here, I obviously have to have Democrats vote for me and independents vote for me, and I've got to have Republicans vote for me. But there's a chasm that's developed between economic Republicans and between the religious right, the Hezbollah,
mm-hmm.
who will always vote for the Republicans no matter what, no matter
even
no matter
if it's Ralph Reed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And take it easy. We need him on the ticket.
He
does good things for us here.
That's true. That's true. He would absolutely sink. He may sink the entire Republican Party in Georgia. But anyway.
But that chasm has developed amongst economic Republicans, and here they're intensely professional and corporate, and the kind of person that terminates a non-performer or an incompetent, and that's what this is going to equate to in November.
Again, are people who will go to the polls, the people who could be activated, Steve, the people who don't need a sharp stick in the eye, what do you have to do to reach them? Because they're the ones that are going to make the decision. They're the ones who are going to make the decision. And I know your opponent is entrenched in that district, so to speak. I know he's embedded in that district, and he feels like he doesn't have to work against you, I don't think. Does he?
Well, yeah, he does.
Does he?
It turns out that I do not have a primary opponent. It turns out he does.
Uh-huh.
Somebody has jumped up. Tom was ostensibly one of the safest guys on earth, and he was supposed to sail all the way through unopposed, and that is not the case. Are you aware that Congress has extended the franking privilege to radio?
No.
You know, I found that out from somebody in radio in this town.
Well, you get free postage?
Yes, that is the law, the statute by which Congress gets free postage.
Right.
Usually the go square on that is $835,000, and they can use it for those district mailings where you always get, you know, pictures of your congressman.
Right, right.
Protecting the elderly.
Right.
Taking care of firemen. And all that other stuff. And really what it is beautiful, glossy, five-color campaign literature. But it talks about what has been done for the district and for the country lately. They've extended it to radio. And we've experienced that firsthand here in Atlanta, where Tom has bought on a radio station and run commercials. And the disclaimer at the end makes car dealers sound forthright. People are bumping phones. It's so fast. You can't tune your ears up fast enough to hear it. And just to make you believe that there is a God, Mike, the conservative blogs are lighting him up over it.
Oh, really?
They're going after him. Yeah, there are any number of them that are going after him on that and his policies as well. So that's what it's like to run here in a real red district, in a real red state against a real red incumbent for Newt's old district. I'd say statistically we're about even. That's probably what my local numbers will come in shortly in the next couple of days when we get them, but that's what the national numbers indicate. And we have a terrific chance, and I just say, help a brother out. ChangeCongress.com.
I hear you. ChangeCongress.com is Steve's website. ChangeCongressNow.com.
Yeah,
ChangeCongressNow. I'm sorry, my bad. ChangeCongressNow.com. Most people who run for public office, especially for the United States Congress, will take a look at the demographics of the district they're going to run in, and they say, well, okay, I can count on this particular base. I'm going to have to work for this group. This group I have to write off because they're so far right or so far left or so far something that, you know, I can't reach it. Do you have a base in I know the district, Steve. Cobb, Fulton, Cherokee. Do you have a base?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, when you talk with D-Trip, which is DCCC, the Democratic right. Congressional Campaign Committee. Right. They get somebody on the phone there, and they'll start searching you on the computer, and they'll look at the district, and they'll see the Bush-Kerry numbers and go brain dead, 70-30. But this is a 45% congressional district, even when we run a cadaver, and things are not hunky-dory for the Democrats. So knowing that the pendulum swings way far over one way, and then starts to come back. And then knowing that these guys, in their 6 years of unrestricted power, have become so big, so bloated, so heavy, they would cave in on themselves. Mm. As we're seeing now, it was worth it to me to do it. I mean, you know, after 35 years of radio, Mike, I woke up one day and realized that I've been running for Congress for 35 years.
Yeah, I think I understand that. All right, Steve, changecongressnow.com is the website.
Help a brother out.
Help a brother out. Go to his website. Break loose with some money.
Thanks, Mike.
This is the way it works. Steve, we'll talk to you again. Take care. Hang in there. Kick butt. Take names, buddy. All right?
Thanks, Mike. Love to Kathy and Molly.
All right, will do. Bye-bye.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, we have immediate openings for mystery shoppers. You get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies will pay you to be their eyes and ears. You'll tell them how you, a customer, are treated and how their prices compare. Full or part-time, as a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be able to read and write, be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. For a small fee, mystery ShopLink gives you your training and your secret assignments. All you need to do is shop. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-889-6993 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-889-6993. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-889-6993. Offer not available in Nevada. We'll be right back.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Bafanculo. I'll get it right. All right, Anna and Massimo and a bunch of people are emailing in here on the right pronunciation of Tony Scalia's curse phrase word in church, no less. Vapanculo, 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 vapanculo. Is that it? Is that it? Vapanculo.
I thought you were Italian.
Well, I am, but I don't speak the language, you know. You're part Syrian. Let's hear you speak some Syrian. Arabic, I'm sorry.
Jamaicani.
Oh, my God. Vapanculo. Okay. Now, you know, this is the weird part. I could just see some old grandma from the old country sitting in her parlor with the radio on, somewhere across the fruit of plain, listening to this program, because, you know, she's heard, this boy, Mike Malloy, he's an Irish name, he's Italian, listen to this boy. And then she hears me going on like this all night, Vapanculo. I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't say it. Fat Tony Scalia said it. I'm just doing what he said. Green Dog writes in and says that the bomb that they're going to blow up in Las Vegas, the bomb itself doesn't weigh 700 tons, which would be 1,400,000 pounds. Green Dog says it has the explosive capability equivalent to 700 tons of TNT. All right, Green Dog, I'll accept that. But I just wish somebody at Agence France-Presse, if I'm pronouncing that right, or the Australian News Agency, or Yahoo, if they just could have cleared that up a little bit and said the same thing. What they're saying is it's a 700-ton bomb. But I'll go along with your explanation. I can't imagine something. Can you imagine loading it onto an airplane? Jeez. This is brand new. Soldiers, this is according to Rumsfeld. You know, Rumsfeld is a murderer and a killer, and he wants to generate as much death as possible because, like I said, he's a sick old man who's soon going to step off this mortal coil, and he wants to take as many people with him. He thinks he's going somewhere. He thinks, I'm going to, I don't know, where, someplace. Sorry. Anyway, this just crossed the wire. Soldiers will no longer be allowed to wear body armor other than the protective gear issued by the military, Army officials said late Thursday. This is the latest twist in a running battle over the equipment the Pentagon gives its troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Army officials told the Associated Press that the order was prompted by concerns that soldiers or their families were buying inadequate or untested commercial armor from private companies, including the popular dragon skin gear made by California-based Pinnacle Armor. Someone named Colonel Thomas Spohr, love the name, director of materiel for the Army, said, quote, "We're very concerned that people are spending their hard-earned money on something that doesn't provide the level of protection that the Army requires people to wear. So they're, frankly, wasting their money on substandard stuff," end quote. Jesus! I mean, the reason the soldiers and Marines have been buying body armor, Colonel, is because the crap you've been giving them has resulted in them being killed! Veterans groups immediately denounced the decision. Nathaniel Helms, editor of the Soldiers for the Truth online magazine Defense Watch, said he has already received a number of emails from soldiers complaining about the policy. Senator Christopher Dodd, who wrote legislation to have troops reimbursed for equipment purchases, said, quote, "Outrageously, we've seen that soldiers haven't been getting what they need in terms of equipment of body armor. That's totally unacceptable. And why this directive by the Pentagon needs to be scrutinized, in much, much greater detail. Let me save you some time, Senator Dodd, and your committee, whatever committee you sit on. This cuts Rumsfeld and Cheney out of the loop for the money. You see, it's all about the money and the death. I mean, they do love death, but they also love money. And you can bet your ass, Colonel or Senator, that somewhere deeply embedded in this morass of insanity is a subsidiary of Kellogg Brown and Root or Halliburton or somebody who provides the army issued armor. And this cuts into their profit. Hey, 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 stop, stop, wait a minute. We don't care if you go die. We just want to cut before you go die. Now get up there, soldier. Get your ass up there. Put up, hip, up, hip, up, hip, up. Army bans the use of privately bought armor. I wonder if that's what it's going to take to make the soldiers hesitate. This is from Licia. Mike, I've listened to several hosts on Air America talk about Bush's problem with his jaw, and I was hoping you might consider what I have to say on the subject. About 2 years ago, I heard some buzz about Bush wandering the halls of the White House talking to himself, or God, or some invisible people. Then I heard he was put on antipsychotic medication. Now, I suffer from PTSD and have been on medications over the years, and it does make my jaw do weird things. You might consider, Mike, that his jaw movements are due to medications, drugs, other than coke.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
In the midst of France's student protests, the president of the Sorbonne, Jean-Robert Pitt, stated that he is ashamed of his country and that Stalin is not dead in France, it's his last refuge. Anytime students stand up against the perceived threat by their government and rally against the status quo, they are told to shut up and accept the system. France does have a huge unemployment problem, and I understand that many people view these students as pampered brats who are selfishly clinging to their privileged status while undermining the ability of others to get jobs. But let's give these kids a second look, rather than dismiss them as Stalinists. They have a point, and their fears aren't totally unwarranted. Once the welfare state starts being dismantled, the whole thing can fall apart. The pure free marketeers out there are pining for a France and a world that denies workers' rights, living wages, and social security. France, like most of the West, is moving in this direction, and the kids don't like it. I'm Sam Graham Felsen for Air America Radio. For more, check out thenation.com.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Iran says it will not comply with the UN Security Council demands that Iran stop enriching uranium. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice insisted today the five permanent council members plus Germany are, quote, united about Iran, but Russia and China say they remain opposed to any strong retaliatory action. Airport Security Waste, the company awarded a $1 billion contract for airport security equipment, performed so poorly the Homeland Security Department's Inspector General today recommended the project be put out for another bid. The Inspector General, Richard Skinner, found in a report released today that Unisys got most of the $1 billion without providing the Transportation Security Administration much of the equipment called critical to airport security and communications. The federal officials who head airport security at hundreds of airports complained that Unisys supplied antiquated equipment and their radios did not always work with each other inside the same concourse at the airport's a crucial function in an emergency. The jury in the Zacharias Moussaoui death penalty trial completed its first full day of deliberations with no decision. The panel asked for a definition of weapons of mass destruction as they were working to decide whether he's eligible for the death penalty. The jurors got the definition. As deliberations neared the four-hour mark, the judge told them the term does include airplanes used as missiles. One of the three convictions on which Moussaoui could get the death penalty is conspiracy to use weapons of mass destruction. Customs authorities say they broke up a document counterfeiting ring that was selling bogus resident alien cards, Social Security cards, and California driver licenses. Agents arrested 11 people, shutting down seven document mills in homes and apartments. Customs and Immigration Enforcement agents say it's an easy, lucrative business. The big concern is who's buying the documents. They say some alien smugglers are doing business with counterfeiters to get documents for people to get on airplanes. The changing of the guard involving George Bush's chief of staff, renewing speculation about the fate of Treasury Secretary John Snow. He's been the Bush administration lead economic person for 3 years. White House Press Secretary Scott McCullen was asked about a New York Times story which says the incoming chief of staff, Joshua Bolton, wants to make changes to the economics team and wanted to replace Snow. McClellan did not rule out any such change. This is Air America Radio News.
It's 7 past the hour. Welcome back. This is the Molloy Program on Air America. One thing I like about doing talk radio, there's usually 97 different points of view on any given topic. I'm exaggerating. But now I get this from Blue Pilgrim. This is from the Washington Post. This bomb test, the bomb will weigh 700 tons. This is what the Washington Post says today. The June test will detonate 700 tons of heavy ammonium nitrate fuel oil emulsion, creating a blast equivalent to 593 tons of TNT. Jesus. In a 36-foot deep hole near a tunnel in the center of the Nevada test site, according to official reports. 700 ton ammonium nitrate fuel oil emulsion. Isn't that, that's what was used to bring down the Murrah Federal Building. That's fertilizer, ammonium nitrate. So apparently the bomb, quote, quote, will weigh 700 tons. Matt in North Plainfield, New Jersey, writes regarding Tony Scalia and his Vapanculo. Papangulo gesture in church. Matt writes, hey, Mike, could you imagine what these right-wing fascists would say if Howard Dean came out of church and did the FU gesture to a cameraman? You'd never hear the end of it. Well, that's true, but Matt, this is America. There's two standards here. One for normal people like you and me, and one for these Republican fascist pigs like Fat Tony Scalia. Papangulo! I want to see that on The Sopranos.
It's just a miracle he didn't, you know, kill any sedated doves while he was, you know, walking to church that morning. Isn't that his specialty? He and Cheney?
That's true. Yeah, they go hunting together where the doves are given a little dose of nitrous oxide before they're turned loose. Here, birdie, suck this. Boom, boom, boom. Some more good news. We started out with good news about the release of the reporter for the freelance writer from Iraq. Here's a bit of more good news. Two more South American countries sent a strong message. This is how it's reported at School of the Americas Watch. Two South American countries sent a strong message of support for human rights and military accountability by ceasing all military training of their troops at the controversial U.S. Army School of the Americas. Nilda Garay, the defense minister of Argentina, and Azucena Berrute, Uruguay's defense minister, both decided this week to stop sending soldiers from their countries to train at the military school based at Fort Benning, Georgia, and now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. The critical decision by the two countries followed meetings with Uruguayan and Argentinian human rights groups and the School of the America Watch activist church worker Lisa Sullivan, torture survivor Carlos Mauricio, and Marian Old priest Reverend Roy Bourgeois. Ms. Sullivan said, quote, everywhere we've traveled this month in South America, we've been amazed to realize that people are fully aware of the reality of the School of the Americas. They have experienced firsthand the horrors of the tortures, detentions, imprisonments, and disappearances caused by its graduates. See, everybody knows except us once again. Now, I'm not referring to you. I'm not referring to myself because we've known about the School of the Americas for 20 years. We know. It's been around for what, 40 years? It used to be in Panama until George Herbert Walker Bush decided that Noriega was getting a little antsy, or the guy before Noriega, the one the CIA had murdered in a plane crash, drawing a blank on his name right now, but you know, then they move it to Fort Benning, and it has been nothing but a school that trained people, trained these right-wing military dictatorships in Central and South America how to torture, how to murder slowly, how to disappear, how to detain, how to imprison their own people, and then sent them back in order to maintain fascist order in these countries so that American corporations could continue to do business without anything as untoward or untidy, as Rumsfeld says, as a socialist government taking over because they were tired of having their faces slammed into the bafunculo. And everybody knows about this except America. Americans don't know. I don't want to know about that. I don't want to know that we torture people. I don't know that we, I want to know we train tortures. No, 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 no. I'll put my hands over my ears. If you remember back in 1996, the Pentagon inadvertently, I believe, released training manuals used at the School of the Americas, the manuals that advocated torture, extortion, execution. Nah, nobody remembers that. And, you know, to this date, there has been no official investigation into what you and I, with our tax dollars, paid to have done at the so-called School of the Americas right down the road here in Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning, Georgia. It is a nest of evil, the depth of which the American consciousness can't plumb. Because if we go there, if we try to take a look at that, all this Jesus loves me, this I know, crapola, is going to go right out the window. We are not a Christian nation. We're a nation that teaches other people how to torture and imprison and murder so that the peons, the indigenous people, the Negroes, the Indians, won't rise up and say, hold on a second. Hold on a second. These are our natural resources. Well, they don't belong to General Electric. They don't belong to Dow Chemical. These are ours. They don't belong to Texaco. We couldn't handle it. I keep going back to what was it called? The Truth Commission, Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was put together when apartheid finally went down in South Africa. And the black folk there, the black Africans, probably would have been very justified to have risen up against the white Africans and butchered them by the scores, by the hundreds, by the thousands. If you believe in retributive justice, which we do in this country, that's why we have the death penalty. If you believe that, then it is well within the framework of the logical mind to have expected black South Africans to have butchered hundreds, if not thousands, of white South Africans who spent 50, 60 years torturing, burning, necklacing, blowing up their children, their parents, their grandmammies, everybody. See? But that didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Because the black leaders who won at the ballot box said, okay, let's have something called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And anybody who wants to come forward, black or white, who involved himself or herself in atrocities during this long, hideous struggle against these white oppressors. Anyone who wants to come forward and speak, no matter your race, come forward, confess, we'll let it go. But let's clear the record. And it worked. And the whites were not butchered by the scores, the thousands, the tens of thousands in South Africa. We can't do that. They had a similar thing El Salvador? To try to get the truth out? Can you imagine if a Truth and Reconciliation a Commission were set up in the United States to review what the U.S. foreign policy has been under Democrat and Republican for the past 50 years? This society could not handle it. Couldn't handle it. And you know the ones that would go insane first are the religious right freakoids. Once they realized what had been done in their name, you know, in the name of this Christian nation, in the name of godliness and free enterprise and freedom, they would go rug-chewing, gibbering, insane.
Can't stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom?
is all I ever had.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a five-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
Country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
Jesus Christ. All right. We're gonna play some of this from Chucklenuts yesterday, as promised, discussing democracy, as you just heard him, in Iraq, democracy in Iraq, at Freedom House. He was at the Hyatt Regency in D.C. This occurred yesterday. All right, just listen to stuff. And keep in mind here, whenever Bush says genocide, he means that the genocide needs to stop, because it's very easy to think that he means it needs to continue.
Deeply worried about.
Hold on a second. I didn't ask the question. He's in the Q&A section of his speech. And the question comes from, apparently, he took questions, kind of open forum to the extent that Bush can handle that. The question here is, Mr. President, I'm from The Economist magazine. I understand, Mr. President, that you met with President Obasanjo of Nigeria today. I wonder if you could tell us what you discussed. And are you now confident that Charles Taylor, the recently recaptured Liberian warlord, will stand trial?
I'm deeply worried about the human conditions in Darfur. Ours is a government that spoke out about genocide, and we meant it. I do believe there needs to be a blue helmeting of not only the AU forces, but additional forces with a NATO overlay to send a clear signal to parties involved that the West is determined to help effect in the settlement, that this is serious business, that we're just not playing a diplomatic holding game, but that when we say genocide, we mean that the genocide needs to be stopped.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. A blue helmeting of not only the AU forces, what's that, the African Union, blue helmeting, what does that mean, a UN? The hell is he talking about? Oh, well, it gets better. The problem with Syria, it's very simple. It needs to freer Lebanon. That's it. That's the ticket. The problem with Syria is it needs to freer Lebanon. Then we can have a free Middle East. Now, here comes the question. Sir, I wonder if you could tell us, to what degree do you think the insurgency inside Iraq is dependent on foreign support, particularly from regional powers, and what are we doing, or what could we do more to prevent that?
The two countries that worry us the most, of course, are the two neighboring countries next to Iraq. That would be Syria and Iran.
Oh, good. There you go.
And we are making it abundantly clear to both that we think it's in their interest to let an Iraqi democracy develop. Syria is a complicated issue because of Lebanon. It's not complicated, actually. It's quite clear what needs to be done. We expect the Syrians to allow the Lebanese democracy to evolve. It's kind of hard to give up on a country in which you've had a stranglehold. But our message to Bashar Assad is that we expect if they want to be a welcomed country into the world, that they have got to free Lebanon.
Well, you notice how he said that, and you can just see him. If you saw the video when he said it, you saw his chin come up and his chest puff out a little bit, and he kind of looked up the way a third grader would look up to his teacher when he said, the two countries that worry us the most, of course, are the two neighboring countries next to Iraq. That would be Syria and Iran! Ah! I've been studying geography. That'd be Syria and Iran! I don't know where Darfur is. I don't even know what that is. But I'm in Syria and Iran! If they want to be a welcomed country into the world... Still rambling on about foreign insurgents in Iraq. Oh, has this been too long? We got to wait till we come back? All right. It's funny. Tragically funny to listen to this moron. It's tragically funny until you realize how many people are dying because this sucker is in office. Then it's no longer funny. Then it becomes, well, tragic. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
My dream is that there be a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Iraq.
Side by side?
But I do know what it was to. And if this world could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Your host for a Appearance Future, it's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. All right, let's get back to these sound bites from Chucklenuts the other day at the Freedom Attic or Freedom House or Freedom Front Lawn, wherever the hell he was speaking. He's still rambling on here about foreign insurgents in Iraq, and he gets a bit confused and start
he does
and start stammering about Iranian nukes and playing cards with counsel in non-transparent societies, Jesus, or something like that.
Obviously, we're deeply concerned about whether or not the Iranians have the wherewithal and or the knowledge about building a nuclear weapon. My negotiation strategy on this issue is that I believe it is better for the Iranians to hear from more than one voice.
Like I do.
As to whether or not the world accepts them as a viable nation in the international affairs. It's difficult to negotiate with non-transparent societies. It's easier for a non-transparent society to try to negotiate with countries in which there's a free press and a free political opposition and a place where people can express their opinions, because it's sometimes causes people to play their cards publicly.
What?
And negotiating with non-transparent societies, it's important to keep your counsel.
Does anyone out there know what he's saying? What does Bush think that Iran and Syria, two examples he's used in the last 10 minutes, or he used at the Freedom House thing, that Iran and Syria exist in some parallel dimension, that they're not really there, and that in order for them to join this dimension, they have to do something that's acceptable to him. The Iraqis obviously haven't. They elected a parliament, which in turn elected a prime minister, and Bush wants the prime minister gone. At least he's gone public with it. With Iran, back in 1953, when they elected a parliament, that in turn elected a prime minister, we just went over and overthrew his ass and put the Shah in. But what is it? What is it that he thinks here? He says, my negotiation strategy on this issue is I believe it is better for the Iranians to hear from more than one voice as to whether or not the world accepts them as a viable nation in the international affairs. The sentence makes no sense, but just like the sentence about Syria made no sense. But does he really believe these countries exist? Where? On Tralfamador? Or don't, Mike. See, you're trying to... Oh, God. See, that's the Venus flytrap. You know, you listen to this sick bastard, and you get involved in his schizophrenia, and you wander around inside those synapses that are firing and misfiring and the serotonin reuptake inhibitors that are all flooded in there, and your bottoms of your feet are getting wet, and you're walking. It seems like caves where if you say anything, you get an echo and echo and echo and echo, and you try to find logic in what he's saying. Don't do that. Okay, coke jaw in full swing here, or whatever antipsychotic drug he's on. Bush tries to explain that Putin needs to remember history in an instant society and make Russia more West, like Africa. you follow me? There was a question that preceded this nonsensical answer. Here's the question. There's been an increasing crackdown on civil society and political parties in Russia. I'm wondering if in the time between now and the St. Petersburg summit that you and the administration, what you and the administration could do to raise these issues to try to help the defenders of freedom in Russia.
I spent a lot of time with the president making it clear that he should not fear democracy on his border. Nor should he fear democracy within his borders. You don't need to remind him about the brutal history that the Soviet Union went through in World War II, but I do think it's illustrative to point out, like I pointed out in the speech, that Europe is now free, whole, and at peace, and there's a reason why.
Yeah?
That's what Americans have got to understand.
Yeah?
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count. But it counts when you really think about life lost on the continent of Africa and wonder why there's no war today.
What?
And so in my explanation to different events that are taking place to the president, I try to point to historical truths, that it's in an interest of a country like Russia to understand and welcome democracy. I haven't given up on Russia. I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be West.
Oh my God, he shouldn't fear democracy on his border. What would that be, Chuckle Nuts? Would that be some of the old the parts of the Soviet empire, like Tajikistan or Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan, some of these countries that are run by people who, when they get pissed off at you, Mr. Bush, they literally drop you into a vat of boiling water? Is that the kind of democracy on Russia's border you're talking about? Kathy, that I've never heard anything like this. Can you please cue it up and play it again? I mean, this is astonishing. The question was, what can you and your administration do to raise the issues of the crackdown on political parties in Russia in order to help the defenders of freedom in Russia? That's the question.
I spent a lot of time with the president, making it clear that he should not fear democracy on his border, nor should he fear democracy within his borders. You don't need to remind him about the brutal history that the Soviet Union went through in World War II, but I do think it's illustrative to point out, like I pointed out in the speech, that Europe is now free, whole, and at peace, and there's a reason why. That's what Americans have got to understand. We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Now see, when he says that, you know, to him, that may be the case. What is he saying? That we don't understand what happened in what the Russians call the Great War? We don't understand the 50 million died? Is that what he's saying? What does he say we tend to forget? Is that right, Chuckle Nuts? And you're keeping everything on cue for us, right? You're keeping tabs. You talk with Putin all the time, so, and then you come back and report to us and keep us hipped up on what's happening, right? What did he say? Ours is a society where things are like instant. Really? So therefore, history almost is like so far back it doesn't count. That's the sentence you would expect from a 10-year-old. And then he finishes up with this.
But it counts when you really think about life lost on the continent of Africa and wonder why there's no war today.
What?
And so in my explanation to different events that are taking place to the president, I try to point to historical truths, that it's in an interest of a country like Russia to understand and welcome democracy. I haven't given up on Russia. I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be West.
Now, dig it. He says, and so in my explanation to different events that are taking place to the president, I think what he's saying here, when I sit down and explain to President Putin what's happening in the world, I try to point to historical truths. Can you imagine? Now, here's Vladimir Putin, who's probably forgot more in the last 45 minutes than Bush has ever known in his entire life. And Bush sits down to educate Putin? On what? Oh, my God.
On things in the West, which are instant.
Yeah. Looks like Karl Rove's advice to Bush was, when he went out to give this speech, when all else fails and you find yourself lost in mid-stammer, just quote some lyrics from bad musicals from the 60s.
The other big opportunity for democracy, of course, is China. One of the most one of the most pure forms of democracy is the marketplace.
What?
Where demand causes something to happen. Excess demand causes prices to rally, the supply causes prices to go up, and vice versa.
What?
One of the things that I think should be a part of any foreign policy is to shine the spotlight, is to open societies. You heard me talk about what it's like to deal with non-transparent societies. I think a useful tool of foreign policy for our country is try to let the sun shine in.
All right, you ready? Everybody all together. Fill your head with hair, beautiful flaxen waxen. All we are saying, let the sun shine, let the sun shine in. All we are saying is give sobriety a chance. Let the sun shine in. I think a useful tool of foreign policy for our country is try to let the sun shine in. Oh, God. Oh, there's more. Don't go away. We've got a couple more. This is the President of the United States talking.
Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, won't talk over the night.
The United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
No, we're looking forward to eating the rich. I get Dick Cheney's ass.
Papagulo! Papagulo!
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oric XL risk-free for 30 days.
Thank you.
too much poppy cultivation in Afghanistan. Got to work together to eradicate poppy. The country is quite famous for growing pomegranates.
Yes.
Or honeydew melons.
Cindy in Washington writes, he sounds like a fuse blew in his brain. He is repeating what someone has recently discussed, hoping it will make him sound smart. But really, his hard drive is skipping. And Barb in Seattle writes, Mike, I consider myself fairly well educated. I went to college, got a degree in the sciences, and then to graduate work. I've been employed, now in high tech, and while I do have gray hair, my mind is still quite intact, thank you. But listening to Bush makes my head spin. I have never heard anything more outright unintelligible. There isn't one cohesive sentence, and his total lack of world events and affairs, not to mention history, is truly frightening. This man is moronic. And to think he's trying to make world policy is beyond comprehension. And to think he thinks every country, every world leader has to be in his idiotic image gives me the chills. He is the biggest embarrassment, no danger, that I've ever seen. Barb. Still gushing about China. Maybe it's the visions of opium dens dancing in his head. I don't know, but he's getting less and less coherent, if that's possible, as he explains why China should let Americans grow beef now that China has read the book on Mao.
China has recently read the book on Mao. It's an amazing history of a couple of things. One, about how fooled much of the world was and how brutal this country was, and yet now there's more transparency into China. I will make it clear, of course, to the president that our relationship is vital on a variety of fronts. One such front is the economy, and we expect that country to treat us fairly. We believe that we grow pretty good crops and grow good beef.
Jesus Christ! Oh my God!
First the cows are talking to him. Now he's planting them.
We grow good beef.
Yeah, see, Mr. President, that there's a beef tree.
He finally shuts up about Russia and China and stumbles around the issue of Iraq's elections and ruffles on perfect seas of calm. Too bad the question was about Egypt. Mr. President, I'm from the Public International Law and Policy Group. I'm also from Egypt, and I aspire to one day go back there and join Egyptian politics. So my question is, would you support the regime of Gamal Mubarak if he takes over after President Mubarak?
You know, one of the interesting debates we have about the freedom movement,
yeah,
is whether or not institutions have to be right before there's elections. So there's been kind of one of these interesting philosophical debates that's taking place.
Oh, my God.
My answer, you heard my answer. My answer is you can't wait for perfect because it's an excuse for the status quo. But for those who say, well, we can't have elections until everything is just right or until we know the outcome of the elections are those who provide excuse, in my judgment, for a foreign policy which in the past has said it's okay just so long as, you know, energy's priced okay. And okay, so there's no ruffles on the, you know, the sea looks calm.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I Kathy, these are not funny anymore. These are frightening. What is it? He really gave away a lot here, didn't he? When he said, but for those who say, well, we can't have elections until everything is just right or until we know the outcome. We can't have elections until we know the outcome. We can't have elections until we know the outcome. Oh, God. There's no ruffles on the sea looks calm. See, his brain is obviously damaged. What little there is. He says... Those who provide excuse, in my judgment, for a foreign policy which in the past has said it's okay just so long as energy is priced okay. He can't He can't differentiate between what he's been accused of, what Cheney's been accused of, what he's trying to, how he's trying to answer the reporter's question about Egypt, for Christ's sake. He can't keep, it's impossible. It's like, I'm so old, I remember the Ed Sullivan Show, where at least once a month they would have the guy come out with the sticks. It went straight up in the air, 12-foot sticks, and on top of the sticks he would spin the plates, right? You remember? Are you old enough to remember? And the plates would be spinning, and he'd be running around, and this one's spinning, and that one's spinning. He's got 15 sticks with plates up there. Bush is like the chimpanzee that watches that trick and then goes, which is chimp talk for I can do that, and gets the sticks up, and one winds up his nose, the other one hits him on the ass, the plates are falling all over the place, the curtain comes down, and Ed Sullivan walks out and says, "You're wearing a very good shoe for you tonight. The President of the United States, George W. Bush."
Malloy on Air America Radio.
This is the American Prospect Minute. Get your monthly dose of liberal intelligence on newsstands now.
Ricky, you've got some splaining to do.
In the March issue of the American Prospect, writer Will Bunch exposes oddities in Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum's finances, both personal and professional. First, there was the mortgage from a private bank that only caters to high-end clients, despite, as he said, living paycheck to paycheck. Then there's the fast food and Starbucks charged to his leadership pack. Find out why Rick Santorum's press secretary said this is a liberal magazine with an obvious bias against Rick Santorum. Also in the American Prospect this month, E.J. Graff details how the pro-gay marriage network is getting ready to play hardball, and Robert Kuttner explains the Democratic windfall that is Bush's botched prescription drug plan. Plus, we're introduced to new House Majority Leader John Boehner, who is really different from Tom DeLay. Yeah, really, but not really. Get your monthly dose of liberal intelligence from the American Prospect by calling 1-888-MUST-READ or online at www.prospect.org. That's 888-MUST-READ or prospect.org. The American Prospect on newsstands now.
I'm Jeff Weiser. A ship carrying Western tourists has sunk off the coast of Bahrain. Witnesses say at least 40 bodies have been brought ashore, while officials say about 60 people have been rescued. But others are still missing, as there were about 150 passengers on the ship, which took tourists out for a short sightseeing tour of the Persian Gulf. The British Foreign Office in London says it's very likely many of the passengers are British. The U.S. Navy is helping the rescue operations. Officials say nothing indicates the accident was caused by an attack. President Bush strongly supports a guest worker program as a way for non-citizens in the U.S. to attain legal status. At a news conference in Cancun, Mexico, where he is meeting with Mexico's President Vicente Fox, Bush says he and Fox are exploring ways to curb the flow of undocumented immigrants into the U.S. from Mexico.
And I explained to the President my vision of the citizenship issue. I don't believe somebody should be allowed to come into our country and get ahead of the line.
Bush said he wants Congress to set up a guest worker program to restore order to the current system of hiring non-citizen workers. Bush also said he wants more green cards for immigrants and is optimistic that Congress can pass a bill that reforms the immigration system. American journalist Jill Carroll was mysteriously released by her kidnappers Thursday. Carroll walked into Iraq's Islamic Party office in Baghdad and asked for help. She appeared to be in good condition. She said she was treated well and her captors didn't hit or threaten her. Her family issued a statement through her employer, the Christian Science Monitor. Her mother, Mary, said she hopes Jill's release will give hope to families of others who have been kidnapped in Iraq. When President Bush was informed, he said, quote, "Thank God." The jury deciding whether accused 9/11 conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui lied to the FBI about his knowledge of the terror attacks has finished day one of the deliberations. They're scheduled to resume later today. Major League Baseball will investigate alleged steroid abuse by players. Commissioner Bud Selig named former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell to lead the probe. Selig said nothing is more important to him than the integrity of baseball, and allegations of steroid abuse raise ethical issues that must be addressed. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
7 past the hour. Welcome back. We have a couple more of these. We're not finished. And then I'm going to share with you some of the emails. Very quick one-liners, for the most part, that you folks have sent in listening to this stuff. Isn't this astonishing? Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? I don't mean tonight's quotes. I mean what this idiotic freak says constantly. But let's continue. We only have a couple more here. This is the most insensitive remark of the other day when he was giving these comments, taking these questions and giving these half-witted answers. But it's also possibly the most insensitive remark out of this freak's mouth since he since he was born. This gives you a deep insight into his real insanity. His real insanity. He talks about children being blown to pieces. Now, he says an IED, but most of the children blown to pieces in Iraq have been blown to pieces with American ordnance, not with IEDs, you crazy man, you. But listen, listen to what he says. You know, we're a beautiful and great nation because we cry when his illegal invasion, his murderous attack on this country, causes children to get blown up.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
That's beautiful.
We don't care what the child's religion may be or where that child may live, we cry. It upsets us.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I mean, see, at that point, that's when I just want to get the ice pick out again and jam it in my own eye. You know, just bring this to an end. I swear to God. Now, it's obvious all the blown-up children don't cause Bush to get too upset or shed too many tears. We cry because he believes down to his very soul that invading Iraq was the right thing to do. Because decision makers make decisions based on beliefs and decisions that they believe, or something like that.
And so when you see me make decisions, or make statements like I make, you got to understand it's coming from a basic set of beliefs.
I hate children! I believe it!
And that's what a decision maker ought to do. The decision maker ought to make decisions based upon deep-seated beliefs. You don't need a president chasing polls and focus groups in order to make tough decisions. You need presidents who make decisions based upon sound principle. Now, people may not agree with the decisions. I understand that. But I hope after this talk, those of you who didn't agree, at least know I'm making my decisions based on something I believe deep in my soul.
Well, then, that makes everything okie-dokie then. Okay. Hey, that's cool. All right, George. Damn, for a moment there, I thought you were making decisions based on, oh, I don't know, what kind of prize you found in a Cracker Jack box. I have no idea. And finally tonight, a little incoherence about Rove's shiny new wedge issue for the November midterms. What to do about all those illegal immigrants? And you know what? They're all colored! They're all colored! Question. Mr. President, I'm curious, what kind of components are you looking for? Components? What is that, people from Compone? I'm curious, what kind of components are you looking for in an immigration bill that you can support?
The American people have got to know that we'll enforce law.
Yeah.
We've got to enforce, and by the way, part of enforcing law means to make sure that when somebody's caught coming into our country illegally, they're not let back out in society.
What?
Since 2001, believe it or not, we've stopped 6 million people trying to sneak into our country.
Sneak?
Amazing statistic. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It
turns out what's very interesting is that when you deny, you know, when you make something illegal and there's a demand for it, people find ways around it. That's why you've got a whole smuggling industry called coyotes. That's why there's tunnels.
Jesus Christ. Please help me. Please help me. Somebody help me. Somebody puncture my eardrums, please. He says, when someone is caught coming here to a country illegally, they're not let back out in society. They're not? Well, what happens to them? Are they turned into taco meat? What? Since 2001, believe it or not, we've stopped 6 million people trying to sneak into our country. An amazing statistic. 6 million. That's a lot. Yeah, it is. That's almost a whole Brazilian. Right, George? Christ. And then he says, it turns out, what's very interesting is that when you deny, when you make something illegal and there's a demand for it, people find ways around it. No kidding, Dick Tracy, sort of like you and smack, right? Or Coke or LSD, whatever the hell you're eating. That's why we've got a whole smuggling industry called coyotes. Coyotes. Esta es mi hijo. Metijano. Welcome a Casablanca. And then he winds up by saying, that's why there's tunnels? I don't know about you, but this has been a very weird 45 minutes here, this barefoot trip through this degenerate, breaking-apart mind of George W. Bush. Only there's something I just have to insist on that you understand. He's always been like this, always. I remember when they decided to run this inert mass of stuff to be president of the United States, and we were in Chicago, and he was still governor of Texas. And I can remember thinking, no, oh, Jesus, no. Oh, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Not that, you know, I knew he'd be defeated. I knew Al Gore would whip his ass. There was no question about that, right? But I didn't think, and I don't know why I thought this. I didn't think the Republican Party had sunk to the point where they would fish into the toilet and come up with a floater like this and run him for president. If nothing else, it so degenerates the United States. It's unbelievable. Okay, a few of your comments here, and I'm not going to be able to get to all of them because you all have sent in a bunch. This is from Garrick in California. Garrick writes, you know how little children shouldn't watch horror movies unless an adult is right there to explain that the movie isn't reality? I can't listen to Bush speak, or I get overwhelmed with panic and feel like I'm going to freak out unless I get it along with some reality and humor provided by the Air America staff, and especially Mike Malloy keeps me grounded. Well, thanks, Garrick. You didn't know this was coming to me, did you? Yeah, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. You know, Molly is to that point now. She's 20, what is she, 21 months old. And when something scary starts to happen now, 20 months old, time rips by when you're watching a kid grow. But when something scary happens, she comes real close to me. She doesn't have to say anything. The body language says it all. To protect me, Daddy, from the choo-choo train or the fire engine or the or Mommy. What?
And when Bush comes on the TV, she says, I see dumb people.
I see dumb people.
They're everywhere. They walk around like everyone else. They don't even know they're dumb.
This is from Herb. Herb. I didn't do that. Herb, sorry. Herb writes, think the giggling killer realized, oh, this is about democracies in and around Russia that Bush was saying Putin shouldn't be afraid of because, you know, they never were there in the past, I guess. Herb writes, think the giggling killer realizes that Finland is a more democratic country than his America and it's on the border of Russia and has been forever? Nah, silly of me to ask such a question. From Seth. This isn't anything we haven't known since 2000. Holy feces, how was the press fooled so badly during that election year? And what did we do to deserve this madman? Yeah, I hear you, Seth. This one's from Bob. Mike, gravy brain sounds like a drunk I was arguing with at the bar the other night. Gravy brain? This is from Hummingbird. The Bush quips sound remarkably like the things I've heard said by people who are coming down off acid when your brain is really fried, the same disjointed threads of mind lint. Mind lint. Oh, my God.
The kids were coming out of the school system who were illiterate. And it wasn't right.
Yeah, it wasn't.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Past the hour. A couple more here. This one comes from China. Hi, Mike. I hear some funny stuff from most powerful man in the USA. It sounds like he was on crack. Is there a transcript or do you have a link?
put it to the message board, please. Do the guy ever read a book, a note, or at least a piece of paper? I like your radio show. It's early, of course. This is from Palcat. When he talks, I feel so ashamed and embarrassed. Do you realize that he represents America? He is the top of our crop, the pride of our nation, a stunning example of what it means to be an American. Oh, dear God, I hereby surrender my citizenship. I'm going to petition Pango Pango to accept me as one of theirs. Is this man the first living brain donor, or is it just us? Eleanor writes, I'm mortified to try to think of what a translator for him might do in a foreign country. How could they possibly translate that dribble? Eleanor raises a very good point. Oh, my God. Never mind. This is from Prairie, too. Hey, Mike, I think Bush let something out that he wasn't supposed to when he said, I'm getting up on Russia. Since when was Russia a hopeless cause? He claimed to be able to see Putin's soul. Apparently things aren't going so good between Russia's dictator and ours. Can't they agree on how to divide Poland? Michael in New Mexico writes, regarding Bush and his simple minor pronouncements, I think Graydon Carter explained it well. Quote, he speaks to the audience as if they're idiots. I think the reason he does that is because that's the way these issues were explained to him. End quote. Yeah. From the last one here, from James in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he's wondering where all the sunshine's gone. James writes, Mike, since the 2000 campaign, nearly every wise ass with a computer and auto-editing software, myself included, has been chopping up Bush speak to hilarious and or subversive effect. But tonight's sound bites represent a stunning virtuoso performance. That is, if the intent was to completely deflate all of us audio subversives, we are faced with the impossible to improve upon a masterpiece of madness. It's a challenge on par with making Cheney sound like he cares about anything. Right. Well, yeah, the authentic is sometimes much more creeped out than any kind of imitation. It's, of course, to get the full impact, you have to watch him. You have to watch the body language. Watch his mouth and his hands, the dark spots in his eyes. Watch where his pineal gland or his third eye is. And every once in a while, you see this little bing. I don't know. It's like I can't describe it. It's like a little indentation that pops up and then goes away. Oh, God. Kathy said I better do some phone calls. Okay. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Luke, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Luke.
Well, listen to that one description a minute ago. It makes me think that what we were listening to was a translation of a translation. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like two people who have no idea what they're saying trying to make sense. One person repeats it to the next person, and it comes out the other end. You're going, huh?
I know. It sounds, pick some hard languages. It sounds like it goes from Urdu to Japanese to Hebrew to Chinese to English.
Oh, gosh. I was telling the screener, I said, the thing that scares me the most, we can think this is all really funny, and it is, but the thing that scares you the most is to realize that somewhere in that traveling circus that's down there right now in Cancun is a Marine with a steel case.
I know.
And I'm sitting there going, please, dear God, let him have jumbled the combination or put a padlock on it, something.
That's very true.
It's just one of those things, we're old enough to remember when, the press followed Gerald Ford around. We thought that was kind of funny, seeing that. But the press, more than anything else, I think has covered for this guy. I mean, from day one, it's like, well, we'll let you listen to him in sound bites. We'll try not to let him get on the air in long sentences unless it's on C-SPAN or something.
I know. And by the way, the Marine who's carrying the so-called football, Bush doesn't have the operating codes. Those are in Cheney's evil brain. I don't think they would allow Bush to have those codes.
That's good, because I swear, how we used to worry about Ronnie Reagan doing it.
Oh, I know.
I'm really scared about Bush going, let's see what this looks like.
Don't do that, Luke.
But you know what I mean? You know, we were always scared that Ronnie would do it. But I think Ronnie, even in his Alzheimer's, had enough sense, you know what I mean, not to do it. Bush, I have no inkling that he has any part of that brain that says don't do it.
I know. And besides, keep in mind that Bush, like Tom DeLay and John Cornyn and a lot of these folks.
Dominionists.
Yeah, they really do believe that they've got to do this. They've got to pull the trigger so that Jesus will see all the death and come back and say, hey, y'all did good. Thanks, Luke. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care, okay?
Thanks.
Quick break. When we come back, tonight's reading of 1984. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
If we don't cave into desire, you can't take the high horse and then claim the low road. The past is over, I agree. We all know the importance of bondage.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought: change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
We'll be right back.
We have been in part two, chapter eight of George Orwell's 1984, or if you do it the other way, I think it's chapter 16. When we finished last night, the scene we did last night, O'Brien has met with Julia and Winston Smith. He invited them in for a glass of wine and to talk. And, of course, Julia and Winston are stunned. First of all, they see that in the confines of the inner party, you can turn off the telescreen. All sorts of things have happened. And they have sat there and declared themselves, Julia and Winston Smith. They will do anything in order to overthrow the party. They have really, these two have really made a declaration of their intent to be revolutionaries. You understand, O'Brien said, that you will be fighting in the dark. You will always be in the dark. You will receive orders and you will obey them without knowing why. Later I shall send you a book from which you will learn the true nature of the society we live in and the strategy by which we shall destroy it. When you have read the book, you will be full members of the Brotherhood. But between the general aims that we are fighting for and the immediate tasks of the moment, you will never know anything. I tell you that the Brotherhood exists, but I cannot tell you whether its numbers are 100 or 10 million. From your personal knowledge, you will never be able to say that it numbers even as many as a dozen. You will have three or four contacts who will be renewed from time to time as they disappear. As this was your first contact, it will be preserved. When you receive orders, they will come from me. If we find it necessary to communicate with you, it will be through Martin. When you are finally caught, you will confess. That is unavoidable. But you will have very little to confess, other than your own actions. You will not be able to betray more than a handful of unimportant people. Probably you will not even betray me. By that time, I may be dead, or I shall have become a different person with a different face. He continued to move to and fro over the soft carpet. In spite of the bulkiness of his body, there was a remarkable grace in his movements. It came out even in the gesture with which he thrust a hand into his pocket or manipulated a cigarette. More even than of strength, he gave an impression of confidence and of an understanding tinged by irony. However much in earnest he might be, he had nothing of the single-mindedness that belonged to a fanatic. When he spoke of murder or suicide, venereal disease, amputated limbs, and altered faces, it was with a faint air of persiflage. This is unavoidable, his voice seemed to say. This is what we have to do, unflinchingly. But this is not what we shall be doing when life is worth living again. A wave of admiration, almost of worship, flowed out from Winston towards O'Brien. For the moment, he had forgotten the shadowy figure of Goldstein. When you looked at O'Brien's powerful shoulders and his blunt-featured face, so ugly and yet so civilized, it was impossible to believe that he could be defeated. There was no stratagem that he was not equal to, no danger that he could not foresee. Even Julia seemed to be impressed. She had let her cigarette go out and was listening intently. O'Brien went on. You will have heard rumors of the existence of the Brotherhood. No doubt you have formed your own picture of it. You have imagined, probably, a huge underworld of conspirators meeting secretly in cellars, scribbling messages on the walls, recognizing one another by code words or by special movements of the hand. Nothing of the kind exists. The members of the Brotherhood have no way of recognizing one another, and it is impossible for any one member to be aware of the identity of more than a few others. Goldstein himself, if he fell into the hands of the Thought Police, could not give them a complete list of members, or any information that would lead them to a complete list. No such list exists. The Brotherhood cannot be wiped out because it is not an organization in the ordinary sense. Nothing holds it together except an idea which is indestructible. You will never have anything to sustain you except the idea. You will get no comradeship and no encouragement. When finally you are caught, you will get no help. We never help our members. At most, when it is absolutely necessary that someone should be silenced, we are occasionally able to smuggle a razor blade into a prisoner's cell. You will have to get used to living without results and without hope. You will work for a while, you will be caught, you will confess, and then you will die. Those are the only results that you will ever see. There is no possibility that any perceptible change will happen within our own lifetime. We are the dead. Our only true life is in the future. We shall take part in it as handfuls of dust and splinters of bone. But how far away that future may be, there's no knowing. Might be 1,000 years. At present, nothing is possible except to extend the area of sanity little by little. We cannot act collectively. We can only spread our knowledge outwards from individual to individual, generation after generation. In the face of the thought police, there's no other way. He halted and looked for the third time at his wristwatch. He said to Julia, "It's almost time for you to leave, comrade. Wait, the decanter is still half full." He filled the glasses and raised his own glass by the stem. "What shall it be this time?" he said, with the same faint suggestion of irony. "To the confusion of the thought police? To the death of Big Brother? To humanity? To the future?" "To the past," said Winston. "The past is more important," agreed O'Brien gravely. They emptied their glasses, and a moment later, Julia stood up to go. O'Brien took a small box from the top of the cabinet and handed her a flat white tablet, which he told her to place on her tongue. It was important, he said, not to go out smelling of wine. The lift attendants were very observant. As soon as the door had shut behind her, he appeared to forget her existence. He took another pace or two up and down, then stopped. "There are details to be settled," he said. "I assume you have a hiding place of some kind?" Winston explained about the room over Mr. Charrington's shop. "Now, that will do for the moment. Later, we will arrange something else for you. It is important to change one's hiding place frequently. Meanwhile, I shall send you a copy of the book." Even O'Brien, Winston noticed, seemed to pronounce the words as though they were in italics. "Goldstein's book. You understand? As soon as possible. It may be some days before I can get hold of one. There are not many in existence, as you can imagine. The thought police hunt them down and destroy them almost as fast as we can produce them. It makes very little difference. The book is indestructible. If the last copy were gone, we could reproduce it almost word for word. Do you carry a briefcase to work with you?" he added. "As a rule, yes." "What is it like?" "Black, very shabby, with two straps." "Black, two straps, very shabby, good. One day in the fairly near future, I cannot give a date, one of the messages among your morning's work will contain a misprinted word, and you will have to ask for a repeat. On the following day, you will go to work without your briefcase. At some time during the day, in the street, a man will touch you on the arm and say, 'I think you have dropped your briefcase.' The one he gives you will contain a copy of Goldstein's book. You will return it within 14 days. They were silent for a moment. "There are a couple of minutes before you need to go," said O'Brien. "We shall meet again, if we do meet again." Winston looked up at him. "If we do meet again in the place where there is no darkness," he said, hesitantly. O'Brien nodded without appearance of surprise. "In the place where there is no darkness," he said, as though he had recognized the allusion. "And in the meantime, is there anything that you wish to say before you leave? Any message? Any question?" Winston thought. There did not seem to be any further suggestion or question that he wanted to ask. Still less did he feel any impulse to utter high-sounding generalities. Instead of anything directly connected with O'Brien or the Brotherhood, there came into his mind a sort of composite picture of the dark bedroom where his mother had spent her last days, and the little room over Mr. Charrington's shop, and the glass paperweight, and the steel engraving in its rosewood frame. Almost at random, he said, "Did you ever happen to hear an old rhyme that begins, 'Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clemens'?" Again O'Brien nodded. With a sort of grave courtesy, he completed the stanza. "Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clemens. You owe me 3 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me, say the bells of Old Bailey? When I go rich, say the bells of Shoreditch." "You knew the last line," said Winston. "Yes, I knew the last line. And now I'm afraid it is time for you to go, but wait, you'd better let me give you one of those tablets." As Winston stood up, O'Brien held out a hand. His powerful grip crushed the bones of Winston's palm. At the door, Winston looked back, but O'Brien seemed already to be in the process of putting him out of mind. He was waiting with his hand on the switch that controlled the telescreen. Beyond him, Winston could see the writing table with its green-shaded lamp and the speakwrite and the wire baskets deep laden with papers. The incident was closed. Within 30 seconds, it occurred to him, O'Brien would be back at his interrupted and important work on behalf of the party.
Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. Working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, engineered the program in New York tonight. Dee Neal is our associate producer and handles the phone calls. She also maintains the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Check it out sometime. Occasionally I write for that section. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org archives the program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. And Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. All right, let's take a couple of calls. Jerry, I think, is in Sacramento, has set a record for the person that's held on the longest in the history of the Malloy program. Hey, Jerry.
How's it going, Mike?
Oh, no. We got a bad connection here, Jerry.
What? Hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yes. I saw that 9/11 revisited. They do make a very interesting case for their point. I don't think they necessarily prove anything, but if you take the little arrow on your computer and put it next to Tower 7, pick an edge and watch it fall down, and that sucker goes straight down. It doesn't wobble an inch, and you got to tell me that's accidental. That's got to be the most perfect accident I ever seen.
Yeah, I think so. I still get emails from people who are structural engineers or whatever and try to convince me, a very ignorant man where it concerns structural engineering, but certainly I remember my high school physics, and I do know that what I'm watching when that building comes down is not something that's occurring just on its own as a result of some structural defect someplace.
Absolutely not. They show pictures that burn, of buildings that burn totally crisp, and there's a steel frame there.
Right.
And you'll notice one of the planes hit to the side of the center, so that building should not have gone down perfectly straight, because the damage was to one to the right side as you see the plane fly in. You know, there's a lot of good questions to be asked. Of course, one wonders how in the world they could get in there and prepare a building for such a demolition to come down like it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the Arabs didn't have in mind that they wanted the buildings to fall straight down. If they wanted the buildings to fall down, I'm sure they would intend them to fall to the side so they can take out more stuff.
Well, certainly whoever was the mastermind behind this and whoever was on or whoever was in control of the aircraft, I would assume you're right. I just totally accept the official story as far as the nationality or religious beliefs of the people who allegedly committed this attack against us. As far as I'm concerned, that has not been settled.
The big problem is, you say mastermind. Seeing Bush, you know, he could never be a Hitler. At least Hitler could give a speech.
Well, that's true. Comparing Bush to Hitler, I think, is only metaphorical. Bush is a moron. Comparing Cheney to Hitler or Rumsfeld to someone in the Nazi high command probably makes more sense. But you're right. George Bush is so stupid he wouldn't
he
even have made it as far up as the SS. Excuse me?
Say that again.
I said that Bush is so stupid he would not have made it as high as a junior officer in the SS.
they probably wouldn't even let him in the concentration camps.
Yeah, I hear you.
That is.
Well, thanks for checking in, Jerry. I appreciate it. Take care. Mary is calling from West Haven, Connecticut. Mary, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I was all right until I started listening, and I heard so many people just questioning, you know, you yourself. We question our sanity, and I thought you needed a professional assessment since I'm a psychiatric nurse.
Okay.
I call to reassure you that you're perfectly sane. All of us are sane. It's them that have driven us crazy. You don't have to be a psychiatric nurse to see that the man is nuts. He's out of his mind. I saw this when he first came on the scene to me, which was probably maybe 1999, because I didn't pay much attention to Texas politics. But the minute I looked at him, I knew he was insane. What are we waiting for? You know, we can talk about 9/11. Let me say it like he says it: September the 11th, till the cows come home. We can talk about voter fraud, but until we recognize that we have a madman in the White House with his finger on the button, my mind stops right there.
I know. It gets pretty shaky for me sometimes, too. And I think that's one of the reasons we try to use over-the-top outrage. It's genuine, but we use it. And whatever kind of dark humor we can come up with, because otherwise, I don't know how I could handle living knowing that the country is in the clutches of this group of people who are hell-bent on destroying us, just hell-bent on destroying us.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, I discovered something tonight in listening to you, and admittedly, you make me handle my rage a great deal because of what I hear coming from you. What makes me crazy is that there are days where I feel like my only option is to walk out my front door and just keep on walking. Wow. I don't care what happens. Yeah. It's at that point. But because we recognize it, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about hallucinations and delusions and extrapyramidal symptoms if we wanted to, his fixed beliefs, his red face, the tics on his face, mm-hmm. the thirst, the stumbling around. We could do all that. But we already know he's crazy. We just need to look at him. When are we going to do something about it is my question.
Well, that's my question, too. But we're out of time for tonight. Mary, thanks for checking in. Thanks for holding on as long as you did. I do appreciate it, okay?
I needed to hear your voice.
All right. You take care.
Good night, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you.
Think Mary could help us score some good Prozac?
I don't know what we need. I think we need some good wine. That's what I think we need. Was Molly waking up? Oh, right on cue. Okay. Hey, listen, thanks for participating tonight. We do appreciate it, all right? However you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, all right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.